cancel that we are behind with 8 minutes, and I want to apologize for that. Can we start the meeting? Am I allowed to start the meeting?
Start the meeting.
Okay. Yes, Chair. Thank you very much, honorable members. Let's bow our heads where we are just for a moment. Thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting is officially opened. I just want to put forward an apology for not appearing in the video. I have connected in the phone. I think my iPad has got a problem on it, which I couldn't find it out. What is it that is the problem? So I would like to request a permission not to open up the video, but I will continue with the meeting in this. But I'll keep on trying to open up the meeting in the iPad so that I'm able to be visible enough, as I am not a robot. But I self, not everyone is going to get for that, honorable members.
Are you able to hear me? A few seconds, Chair. I don't know if it's if you said anything that we need to respond to.
Yes, okay. Okay, honorable members. Can we request Lindy Way?
Chair, you are not audible.
Do the roll call and confirm before we give over to the department. If you can see.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, members, the minister and department officials. I'm in a place with a bit of noise. I have a load shedding, so I went to McDonald's to connect. Chair, I wish to confirm the following members are in attendance of this meeting of the 22nd of November 2023. I have you, Member Mbana. I have Member Masango. I have Member Stock. I have Member Mare. I have Member Tsongo. I have Member Peterson in our presence. Chair, I also received an apology for Member Sukers that she would want to leave the meeting very early, Chair. So those are the members I have managed to pick up in the platform. So if I omitted anyone, to indicate so. Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, we can't hear you. Sir, we can't hear you.
The chair is muted. Actually.
Can I mute yourself, Chair? Let me phone her.
Thank you very much, Lindy. You leave early?
Yes.
Lindy, where?
Yes, Chairperson, I can hear you. Chairperson,
you can hear me now.
I can hear you. Yes.
Okay. What I was asking Lindy is that, is it only Honorable Sukers who requested to leave early? Only that one?
Yeah, that's fine. Yes, Chair. That's the only approach.
Okay. But thank you very much. I can see that you have already flighted the attendance. And
yes,
then
sir.
Can we also, before that, we give over to the department to assist and give us whether they are in and the apologies, and also whether the minister has joined or
Chair, the minister is with us, and I can see the ADG is also in the platform, Chair. Maybe there is a technical glitch on their side, but they are here.
Oh, sorry. Apologies. Good morning. Sorry, I may have missed that. Yes, the department is here, the minister is here as well, and we are ready to present the presentation as per the request of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, SNPG. Can we then give over to Lindy? I think the agenda has just finished now, but at first it was flighted. Can we request here to, like, the agenda?
It's on the screen, Chair.
Thank you very much, Lindy. Then can we then check, Lindy, that who can assist us in adopting the agenda?
Thank you very much, Chair. It's Member Shlongwe here. I move for the adoption of the agenda as is.
Thank you, Honorable Shlongwe. Can we get the seconder?
Thank you, Chairperson. It's Honorable Stock. I would like to greet everyone in the platform from the department as well as all the stakeholders in the platform. Thank you very much. I move to support the adoption of the agenda. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Stock. Then let's proceed.
Chairperson, please note I was having connectivity problems. I'm in the meeting, Honorable Aris.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Aris. We are happy that you have already indicated that you are here. Okay. The agenda has been adopted, Honorable Aris, and has been seconded. So we'll continue accordingly as it has been proposed. Can we then get a briefing by the DSP on budget implications and let me put it this way. Can we request the department to present
to make
remember I was not part of the meeting previously, and I understand that we are continuing with the deliberations of the previous meeting as we did last time. But it doesn't matter. I will catch up with it, and then I'll be on the same par with all other. Chair?
Chairperson?
Members. Hello, Lindy.
Chair?
Lindy?
Yes, Chair. I wish to record that Member Father Mere also joined the platform. It's safe to say, Chair, our normal practice would give the minister to give an overview before the department can proceed with their explanation.
Okay. Is that now so? That you are right. Now that you told us that the minister is the deputy minister part of it?
I didn't see her, Chair, in the platform. I will check whether the office have submitted the apology.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much for reminding me about that. I think I wanted to move as fast as we can, but it doesn't mean that we can't acknowledge and give the minister an opportunity to do the political overview. Can we then, Minister?
Thank you very much.
Recording in progress.
Sorry.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Yeah, the network sometimes is not in our favor. I am suffering from that. Not that I have load shedding, but it's just the network that is playing up and down. Firstly, Chairperson, we thank you again and the committee for giving us this opportunity to continue with the work that was started.
Yeah, the minister,
Hello?
I think there was someone who was talking to Minister. Sorry, Chair. Through you, Chair.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can hear the Minister.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Masang. I was saying that we thank you for giving us this opportunity to continue with the work that was started. And Chairperson, I did make my comments at the time that we appreciate proposals that contribute to any efforts of providing sustainable, cost-effective and efficient services to children and families. And I do want to indicate, Chair, that I had a bit of conversation also with the ADG about the fact that my approach to it as the executive is that we are open to suggestions, we are open to proposals that are made by anyone, including in particular members of Parliament, especially those who are in the portfolio committee, because we appreciate the work that they have to do and their connectivity also to their constituencies, which are, you know, children are actually all of us is constituency. It's hard to say children are this one or that one's constituency. In my view, children and families are our constituency. I don't want to say much, safe to say that our commitment to continuously improving the lives of our people and that of children and families is also expressed in many of the legislation, regulation and everything that has been passed since 1994 to date. And I wanted to say to this meeting today that the revised white paper on families in South Africa, for instance, 2023, were able to present that to a committee of cabinet yesterday, and it was very well appreciated that we've been able to bring it through. Why I say this is because I think broadly as both the portfolio committee and government, we should always try and look at things from a broader perspective as to how do we support our communities and how do we support the people in particular on the ground that work with us to make sure that these policies and everything that we are passing are really implemented. And so to this effect, I'm still making the point that members must always appreciate that if there's a member that comes with a member's amendment bill or a member's bill as a Department of Social Development, we will always take that seriously and not jump into unnecessary conclusions about it. And that's why I'm saying the department here and the ADG in particular will have to express what work has been done, how we view this whole proposal that has been made here by the member. I don't want to say much, Chairperson, other than giving the opportunity to the department to continue the presentation that was made. It's safe to say that, of course, in my conversation, because, you know, sometimes when we start with this work, it's not to say you know everything. All the time you try and expand your mind, expand your horizon and understanding and appreciating. I took it that the proposal raised by Honorable Masango is a matter that is already part of the proposal by the department in relation to partial care, and that clause 34 of the Children's Amendment Bill 2018, which is therefore committee, already takes care of the children less than 6 in number. However, having said that, it is for the members to be convinced about our presentation as we make it, and it is about the members making the decision as to where to go from here. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Minister. I think you are loud and clear.
And I think we have took some points that are very critical in your input, and also appreciate that at least you are part and parcel of us. Can we then, therefore, because your political input can't be interrogated except to be commended and pick up some few important issues on it. Thanks ever so much, Minister. Today, are you not going to join the cabinet?
I'm here. I'm gonna join the. Yeah, no, yes, I've got another meeting, but I'm here for now, Chair. Let me
thank
just
you.
Put an apology for leaving early, but I'm here for now.
Thank you very much. I will appreciate that. Can we then give over to the department to do their presentation?
Well, thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and very good morning to Honorable Members. It has to be a public servant because what you present has to be interrogated. If it's opposed to politicians who want to study. No, thank you. So I think we have a brief presentation, and I just want to start from the premise that this presentation is solely based on the follows the presentation of last week, and specifically deals with the aspect insofar as our response to the proposed amendments to Chapter 5 insofar as the private members' bill is concerned. So that's the context I want to put the presentation in and not deviate from that specific context. I think what's important to highlight is that, and I will just briefly go through the presentation and I'll talk to a few things. So when we talk about the fact that, so the committee obviously requested that we do a costing on the proposed private members of the you would appreciate the complexities in the costing processes when we cost legislation or when we cost policy. It's quite a tedious process, and I'll try and go into a bit of detail a little later in that. So when we say that there's currently no available financial allocation to implement partial care at the national DSD, it's within the context of the proposal being made by the Honourable Member. And I think I just wanted to highlight that at a national level, we essentially only deal with the policy aspects insofar as the development of policy, the legislation, the strategy, and program development, including, of course, monitoring and evaluation. The real work of partial care is done in very small portion at a national department as compared to what is done on the ground by provinces. So, you know, that's where the bulk of the work is being done. So currently the budget doesn't necessarily include partial care in relation to less than six children, which when included will have major financial implications as compared to the current state in which it's being implemented. So you have to be conscious of the human resources that it would attract, particularly as it relates to social workers, and you have to be conscious of the who do assessments and all these other related matters, but also the financial implications insofar as new resources are concerned. So the operational work of partial care is essentially done at the provincial level, as I indicated, which includes the registration, assessment, and of course some aspects of monitoring and evaluation. So you would recall, Honourable Members, that this piece of work was previously done within the context, at least when we did the ECD policy. We had included it there because, you know, when we talk about partial care, it's an umbrella term referred to different types, which include ECD, aftercare, school facilities, respite care centers, as well as private hospitals, amongst others. So it's inclusive. And when we did the costing aspect in so far as the ECD policy is concerned, we had done some aspects there, particularly as it relates to facilities. So that's where we had done the elements of costing. And it is not necessarily itemized in terms of each item. This is what this costs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we are in the department, in the process, of course, of contextualizing the development of a respite care program, which might also assist in some aspects of partial care. And when we look at the full costing in terms of the amendment bill, we look at it in its entirety, and some aspects would be included in that process. I do want to spend a little bit of time dealing with the process that that deals with costing. You would understand, I mean, firstly, we have to understand that it's a very tedious process. So to have done it in a short space of time would have not been possible. Firstly, you must understand the context of the policy, because the interest of costing the policy relates to the program itself. So you have to understand what the program entails. And you have to, in a way, anticipate what the program implementation would be. And we refer to this as understanding the policy objectives, or from the costing experts who are the cost accountants who would do this work, they refer to this as cost costing. And this is done, of course, the cost accountants, we can sometimes do them internally, and we can sometimes do them externally. In most instances, we have to do them externally because we have limited capacity internally. But because it's such a tedious process, we often have to go through supply chain processes, which obviously take a while and which require us to then, you know, brief consultants who would assist us in terms of this work. And there are not many departments who actually do this work internally. Most of them do outsource it. And there are times where we can do it internally, but in most instances, we do outsource it as well. So, of course, this is based on the magnitude of the work in hand. So, I mean, the costing accountants would call that sort of modeling, the modeling process, which includes the mapping of the implementation, as I said earlier. Then after that, there has to be workshops that are conducted with stakeholders, including the Treasury and other interested parties, etc., to ensure that the data is tested accurately. So that there's no disparities in place, and that, you know, everything that comes from the various, in terms of what we say is going to be implemented, is actually considered accordingly. So it's a bit of a tedious process, and it can take anything from 6 months to a year at times, depending on the magnitude of work. And we don't do this alone. We do this, we have to consult provinces, we have to consult different government departments and other stakeholders, etc. So essentially, I'm just putting the point that it's a tedious process that takes us a long time. And at this phase, in this phase and time that we're in right now, you'd be conscious of the moratorium that's been placed in profile service, in some of the work as it relates to contracts and what have you, in line with the guidance that comes from the National Treasury. I do want to sort of also highlight two aspects that I think the Minister may have touched on. Leander, where's the computer? I want to read a specific part of the amendments as it stands. Can I have the laptop? I want to read section 34 of the current amendment bill. And just for context purposes, colleagues, up to, yeah, okay. Honourable members would recall that when we did the first amendment to the Children's Amendment Bill, it was really focusing on the comprehensive legal solution. And I think the guidance from the committee was then that there would be a next level of amendments which would include all aspects that were not necessarily considered in the first aspect or in the first amendment. And so that process is obviously the next step. But I do want to highlight the fact that the proposals made by the Honourable Member are actually covered in the second aspect. So in the amendment bill, we call it that. There's a range of issues that are covered, but there is the aspect that deals with partial care, which is adequately covered in that bill. And I want to read Section 34 for your appreciation. There's amendments of Section 76 of Act 38 of 2005. As inserted by Section 4 of Act 41 of 2007, the following section is hereby substituted for Section 76 of the Principal Act, Partial Care. Partial, subject to subsection 2, partial care is provided when a person, whether for or without reward, takes care of more than 6 children on behalf of their parents, guardians, or caregivers during specific hours of the day or the night, or for a temporary period by agreement between the parents, guardians, or caregivers, and provider of the service, but excludes the full-time care of a child by a school or part of tuition, training, and other activities provided by the school, as a boarder, B, as a boarder in a school, hostel, or other residential facilities managed as part of a school, or C, by a hospital or other medical facilities as part of the medical treatment provided to the child. Point two, and this is where I want to zoom in. A partial care facility operated or managed by the department, provincial department or municipality may register in accordance with Section 80 if there are less than 6 children being cared for. So the crux of what I'm saying is that this aspect is essentially covered in the amendment that would be taken forward, which the committee would be seized with moving forward. So I thought I'd just make the point, and I think the Honourable Member made mention of that also in her presentation last week on this specific matter. Honourable Chair, I'd like to pause there for now and then check with my colleagues for additional input. I'd like Leanda to come in first and indicate his specific inputs, and then I'll go to Isabella.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Good morning, colleagues, I think this is very mouthful, and the issue that I just need to emphasize is that it is not a petition done for the members, but to indicate that when we indicate that there is currently no budget special care in the context of the bill and that is being proposed by the honorable member, but to indicate that.
Thank you very much. Isabella? Okay, so I think, Honorable Chair, we'd like to pause there from the department side and provide that brief, which is to say that the costing aspect is an extremely tedious process. It will take us some time to do. We would not have been able to do it in a week. And this is a piece of work that we would be seized with, of course, as we outline the amendments specifically on some of these areas. And then also just to highlight that some of this work is covered for within the existing amendments or the amendments that are to follow in terms of the amendments of this work. Thank you very much. I'll pause it.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Department. Let's give over to the honourable members to deliberate on the issue. Am I right? According to the agenda that we have agreed upon. Yes, sir. Okay. If it is the case, let me identify hands on this. Honourable members,
Chair, there are about 4 hands. Member Stock, Member
2, 4, 5 now.
5 chairs, yes.
Okay. Maybe it will be very useful for giving the first hand is Honourable Masango Bridget.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you so much for the presentation by the department and the comments that the Honourable Minister has made. Chairperson, I have a question. I now don't know who I'm asking the question to. I think I'm asking the question to the ADG and the department team that made the presentation. in appreciating the explanation that has been given on the issue of costing, and also just to find out the issue of having a the amendment bill or the private members bill or the amendment bill before us, does the desirability of it depend on whether costing has been done or any other aspect that would ensure that the act is implemented or the bill is implemented if it does become the act? And if that is the case, I would want to submit that I am of a different sort of view, which says we look at the private members bill as is, as per its content and its relevance and the value it is adding to the legislation of the country, and not bring in issues that can be looked at a later stage, such as in this particular case, the costing. And so that is my question. I am a bit, I'm trying to understand, and because I already appreciate the presentation, but I need to be made to understand the direct connection of the costing and any other aspect that can come up to the desirability of the bill itself. And so that for me would sort of bring me to some kind of let me say, yeah, I would understand more the deliberations as they are ensuing. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Masango. Let me also give over. I'm looking at the hands. Let me go up, Honorable Medi, followed by Honorable Sukes.
Thank you, Chair. I went through the bill, both the previous one and the members' bill. Some of the issues mentioned in the members' bill are already in the bill that was before Parliament. Will that have an effect on this bill, this members' bill? I just want to find out that from the department. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Medi. Honorable Sukes.
Yeah, Chair. Mine is also just for clarity, Chair, and it's clarity not related to what was presented today. It's more, I think, related to some of, it pertains to some of the questions that was asked by the member, by members, and that is the issue of policy coordination and how the legislation that we refer to that is still to come from the committee in terms of what was not covered in the Children's Amendment Bill, how that speaks into this, what is presented by Honourable Bridget. In this way, I am not sure what the status is of the Office of the Rights of the Child that are meant to be in the presidency, because I think, would it not, and this is my question, would this office play a role, in my understanding, of providing or coordinating, especially policy initiatives as it pertains to children, and it would have been very good for this committee to understand with in the framework of the different legislation, policies, and for this office to provide us with their perspective, because obviously they would have a much more comprehensive understanding and view of any legislation or policy and how that would either enhance or improve protection for children. And it's a question I know that I've raised 3 times. I think I raised it last year, and I must apologize to the department up front if they have addressed it before, because like I say, I've been away from the committee due to my other commitments in basic education. That is my question, Chair. It's basically that. And also what's interesting to me from last week to now, and it's a comment, I think one of the presentations as well when we just entered the term had to do with the, and it speaks to my question in terms of the Office of the Rights of the Child and having, and us as lawmakers having a proper understanding and briefing around how things, what are the gaps that we need to look at, or how do we look at presentations like this one of Bridget Masangu. It's the full basket of service. I'm very interested because I see in my constituency, for instance, that, like I say, it's slightly off from what is presented, and it's with your permission that I make this comment and ask this question. In terms of how we get our the full basket of care provided by the department for children to access that. And I ask this question based on the improvement of protection for children, and especially in our communities where in Northern Cape, Karoo, that I raise all the time, how do we get the full basket of service for the protection of children to be made available to those? And I think it is interlinked. I hope it is clear. It's a bit of a runaround, but basically that's what I'm asking. Is one, what is the status of this office? Would it have not been a very good idea for that office also to be part of these kind of conversations? And of course, that is subject to whatever the status of the office is, so that members have a full understanding, rather than the department telling us, but also that this office gives us an overview of things, how this legislation being proposed, you know, fits into enhancing protection for children. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Sukers. Let's go to Honourable Aris.
Yes, good morning, Chairperson. Thank you very much, and thank you very much for the department for the presentation. As I have raised last week, you know, the financial implication on this, but I'm very mindful it's about the children. I'm also just worried that the department did explain to us the process. So even though it's in the interest of our children, and our children are priority number one, in as a country, I don't think that if we must pursue with this private members' bill, that we will have the sufficient time to finalize it. And that is one of my major concerns, because I don't want a situation like now. Even right now, I'm even worried about the older person's amendment bill will be finalized there. So I don't want us to have a situation where we you know, have, again, extra fruitless and wasteful expenditure, even though it's in the interest of the children, and we cannot finalize this private members' book. I think it's a good thing, and I fully support the private members' book, but in terms of time frame, I don't think we will make it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Harris. I say, Honourable Marie, let's give over to her and then go up in the hand.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Chair. And I also want to say thank you for the presentation. Chair, I just have one concern, and that is this bill going to deduce the fathers? Because we always get emails from these fathers that is worried about not getting permission to see the children, you know, and not having access to the children. I just want to know, because the last time when we worked with the bill, that one was left out because of a lot of cultural reasons and what. And then, Chair, I also would like to know, is there any way in the bill that we can talk about children that is 18 years old that was in foster care, you know, or that used to be in this home's facilities? And when they are 18, they must leave. And then a lot of these children are in school. I have a case a month ago where I was in church. The pastor told me that he had to take a child in because the foster parents put the child out because he's no longer getting the foster grant because he's 18 years old. But the poor boy is still in school in grade 11. So I just want to know, are we also addressing that one of the foster care where these children, when they turn 18, and there's no more space for them and they don't get any more money, and then what happened to the children after that? With the bill, I don't have a problem with that. It's just that I just need to know justice for father or father for justice, whatever. Are we introducing that as well? Is one of the clauses of them also in there or what? Because as I can see, they always send us emails and they are always asking about this bill. And I'm just concerned about time frames and are we going to finish it? Because if you look at Parliament is closing next week, basically, and then we are opening in February, and then we are closing again for elections. So we're not going to be at Parliament to discuss anything. So I'm just worried also about the time frame. Are we going to be able to finish these bills, and are we doing justice to the bills if we're just going to hurry to get these things through? That is my only concerns. Thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you, Honorable Marie. There's also another hand from Honorable Fandameve, followed by Honorable Manganye.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to you and good morning to our minister and all our colleagues. Chairperson, I would like to thank the department for the presentation, and I'm of the opinion that my views have not changed from the last meeting, in that we obviously appreciate Honourable Masango bringing this to the committee because it is important to strengthen protection of children. However, looking at the presentation where it highlights the fact that there is no money allocated for to regulate partial care or even just to look at a costing model, it seems that this is an impossible task at this stage because without funds, like I said before, we cannot legislate for the sake of legislating without having the adequate or requisite resources to ensure that the legislation is successfully implemented. And so I want to also say again that without us understanding, for example, where money will come from, in terms of us wanting to achieve our wish of employing all the social workers that have been trained from the state, by the state. It's just a conundrum in that we know that we need to extend the protection of children through this legislation, but on the other hand, we have a resource challenge in South Africa. And this extends to the fact that at this stage there's no funding to employ more social workers or even just to be able to give life to this legislation. So I would agree that, you know, for me, in my mind, the legislation is desirable. It is just that we, clearly from what the department is presenting to us, clearly from the economic situation that we face ourselves in, it would be impossible to pass it at this stage. Time constraints, financial constraints, but it doesn't make it less desirable. So it's a conundrum in that sense. But thanks again to the department for the presentation and also to Honorable Masango. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Manganye. And then
Thank you very much, Chair. Greetings to all my colleagues and the officials and the minister and all the people who attended this committee. I think I'm still reiterating what we said last time. We said Honorable Masango has brought this private bill, of which we are appreciative that. I wanted to go further, Chair, by saying why is good. We did talk most of the things that the other one, Honorable Polnit, have mentioned now. We were saying this is going to be a committee bill. Unfortunately, because of the time constraint, as we have get into another bill of this older person's bill, it won't be correct that we choose something that we couldn't finish chewing. So it's better to take one thing at a time, the one that we have, not saying the one of Honorable Masango, we throw it away, is included in the bill where we have said we pack this one and this one, including Father for Justice. We have said we will come back to it. So I'm pleading with the committee that let's take one thing at a time. And then when we can't finish, if we are unable to run around like this sometimes, most members are not attending the public hearing like myself, it's going to be difficult. Time constraint, as Honorable Lizelle has already said, we have to go down to our constituency. This is the election. I'm saying to Honorable Masango, don't undermine what she has brought to us as the committee. I think we have to check how can we also, because we can't enter into it because we didn't finish the other one, how is that we can defer to the next coming, we defer all that we have left, that we have passed, because it goes together. We must defer everything that we have said we are packing when we do the children's bill. Because next year there's no chance of voting into 100 and something clause. So that's my proposal, Chair. Thank you very much. Chair, I'm done.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Manganyi. I said you'll be followed by Honorable Mhlongo.
Thank you very much, Chair. I am sorry I'm at the public space because of load shedding. But I think, Chair, firstly, let me thank the department for the presentation. I think it guides us on this matter. Like I said, Chairperson, last week, that this is a duplicate as it is already in the committee bill. And I did propose last week that we defer the matter to the next term. We really understand that this is a serious matter that concerns our children, and I believe we need enough time for the process to unfold from one phase to another. The committee bill is already before Parliament, and we will deal with it when the time comes. I think those will be my submissions, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mhlongo. I think the last hand is Honorable Stock.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Greetings to all my colleagues, the stakeholders, the minister, and everyone who's also in the platform. Pardon me, Honorable Chairperson, for my voice. I'm actually recovering from flu, so don't be surprised. Thank you very much. Let me also join my colleagues to appreciate the presentation from the department, which actually highlights a number of critical areas which we are supposed to consider in towards taking a decision whether we are going to move forward or we are not going to move forward. So, Honorable Chairperson, I think I need to start just to indicate that Even in the meeting of last week, my views also have also not changed. And then what I've indicated last week is that when we as the portfolio committee, we were considering the Children's Amendment Act, at that time, we used a legal word that we are going to reject some of the clauses because we were busy. We're in the process of also meeting the court deadline towards a comprehensive legal solution. So all these clauses that we have actually parked aside, we have not said as a portfolio committee, those clauses are not relevant, we don't need them, we're not going to consider them. But in the context of the legal word rejection, what we have agreed as a portfolio committee, we have agreed we'll consider them in the form of a committee bill, and then which we are going to consider as a portfolio committee. And now, this issue has got background, and I want to contextualize it properly to say we have also tried in our schedule as a portfolio committee. We have looked at different aspects. We have also considered the program of the portfolio committee. And then we have came at that time to a determination which said due to a number of reasons, and then I think most of the honorable members have eloquently also highlighted some of those reasons, which emanate from time constraints, the financial side of other issues which we're supposed to consider and all of that. And then which made it impossible for us ultimately to be able to proceed with the committee bill. Now, the meeting of last week, what happened, one of our members in the portfolio committee, Honorable Masango, which I also need to appreciate the contribution which he has made in the to a private member's bill. And then even in the meeting of last week, I've indicated as well that we appreciate the contents of the private member's bill which he was raising. But from where I'm sitting, it's actually a duplication of what we have already considered, meaning that all these issues that Honorable Masango was raising through a member's bill, private member's bill, it's already been covered in the Children's Amendment Bill, which we have adopted as a National Assembly, which we also considered as a portfolio committee. Now, moving forward, Honorable Chairperson, I want to agree with all the members that were proposing that because it looks like we'll not be able to consider this issue based on the presentation of the department, having listened to all the issues that the department has actually highlighted in their presentation. The issue of the budget for a proper legislation process. It's not just an issue which the department can just wake up and say, no, this is a budget and all of that. So it's a process, it's a lengthy process that the department must actually be able to embark upon before they can even come to a determination of a proper budget towards the legislation. And now the other issue also, Honorable Chairperson, which I want to indicate is that all of us members of the portfolio committee, irrespective of our political affiliation, it is our constitutional obligation to be able to protect the rights of ordinary children. And then it's also our interest also for all of us as members of the portfolio committee to always act in the interest of our children. So no one can claim victory over that aspect and say, I'm the one who's actually more positioned. I'm the one who's actually in a much better position to be able to claim to have the interest of our ordinary children. I think that issue, Honorable Chairperson, we all agree it applies to all of us in the portfolio committee. Now, having said that, the impression must not be created that there are some people who does not want to protect the rights of ordinary children in the portfolio committee. I think all of us, we agree, it's just a matter of timing, time constraints, the financial aspect of a legislation process that makes it very difficult for us to be able to say at this stage we are able to move forward and consider this private member's bill. Now, having considered all the other issues that I've also mentioned, I think I agree with all the members that have actually made the proposal. I think it's Honorable Letitia Aris also proposed, Honorable Masango, no, Honorable Manganye, and then Honorable Hlongo, we're actually proposing. I agree with those honorable members, and I want to also support their proposal. But having looked at all the other reasons that are cited by the department, also from the parliament point of view, we actually defer this particular private members bill to the next coming seventh parliament for consideration and also for its desirability. Because at this stage, we are not in a position to say whether this private member's bill is desirable or is not desirable, but we agree with its contents. So having said all that, I think it will be proper for us to be able to justify it to the next coming parliament. Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Stock. I think there were clarity-seeking questions from Honourable Members. Let's give over the department to assist in answering those questions. Otherwise, a motion, in fact, a proposal has been put and seconded, and also we need to clarify these issues that were asked by members. Department?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, and thank you very much, Honourable Members. Chair, can I make a request, if it's fine, just for 3 minutes, quickly, just so that we consolidate some of these inputs or questions. I may have missed a few, so we just want to collate how we provide responses. So my appeal is just for a 3 minute break, if that's okay, just so that we collate our inputs.
Chairperson, also members, a member of Frank's hand is up.
I think it's a new hand. Thank you very much, Lindy. Honorable Masango? Is it a new hand?
Yes, it is, Chair.
Okay. Let's give over to you so that we come to the seeking clarity questions that have been asked.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've just been listening very attentively to the comments that the valuable comments that the colleagues have made on this issue. And I just want to, some kind of appreciation of those comments, just to say that I believe that Treasury can come and provide further submissions. And I apologize for the noise. On the costing aspect, because also maybe I must just say that as a separate point, and also to say, Chairperson, there was a time when it was clarified after we by mistake rejected the clauses where it was explained that the bill actually that killed the bill. There is no bill at the moment. It's essentially dead, and there hasn't been any plan to hammer it and sort of recreate it. So my point is there's a bill now in front of us that we can obviously declare as desirable or not. And the worst case for me is that we can vote as desirable, and then the committee can work together with Treasury and come up with the costing of a costing model of sorts. Because I want to use, Chairperson, a very huge bill that the NHI, that there is no costing on, but the committee went ahead, and it is for Treasury now and the department to work the costing out. So I just am trying to remove anything that can stand in the way of us making sure that we take a stand for the protection of children. And also, Chairperson, I want to also say that the department last week considered that there is a gap, and the department is the author of, or at least because it was firstly an executive bill. They were the author of that, but they did concede last week that there is a gap. So let's fix the gap, and then the committee can amend this bill as it sees fit. But let's not just throw it away and with those with with the reasons or with the arguments that are being put forward at the moment. I just wanted to make those points, Chair. I didn't want the meeting to go ahead and even close without me having made those comments in as an appreciation of the comments that the colleagues have made. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Masango, for your input. I see also Honourable Mangani.
Yes, Chair. I wanted to correct the reject. It was the term of legal. Because we are not the legal gurus, we use that one as the legal gurus to say reject. In fact, we were not rejecting. We were saying we are packing. I just want to clarify that. We're just saying we are packing them and then we'll take them as the committee bill. So as I have already alluded, because of time constraints, were rushed by that one of the court order, and then after that we get into the older person's bill, of which if we can put more effort also on that one, we are not going to make sure we finish. So taking the other one that Honorable Masango, we did appreciate this that private bill. We said the time is limited. Time constraint, we won't be able to finish. To defer many things is going to be a problem to us. At least as we have packed them, we must take them, all of them, and defer that package, including the one that Honorable Masango said, it was also included on that one. So we must also defer those whom we have not dealt with. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mangani. I see two hands now. Before I give the department to just clarify the issues that were asked by members, Honorable Mshongo and Honorable Peterson.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think Majin had covered me that we are not rejecting anything here. We are simply saying we are deferring the matter to the next term. Pardon me, Chair, it's a bit noisy where I am. And in us deferring the matter to the next term, we do not say we do not take the issues of or the interests of our kids very seriously. We take them very seriously, and that is why part of the reason is that we need enough time to deal with such issues. We can't, with less than 3 months, conclude this member's bill. So, like I said initially, it is already on the committee bill. Defer it to next term, it will be dealt with there. We are not rejecting anything that has to do with kids as members of this portfolio committee. And I think, Chair, there were a lot of proposals and some seconding the proposals that were raised. You need, as Chair, to finally say that these were the proposals and this is the view of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mshongo. Honorable Peterson.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. After all the deliberations and what I heard from what, remember, I'm not long in this committee, and I understand now what is happening, and that's why I don't need explanation on the bill that is now before us. I mean the members' bill and the bill that I went through. So my proposal will be I agree with everyone that said we should refer to the next parliament, but really, this is what, we won't be able to finish this bill. Thank you.
Okay, you seem to saying the same thing. Or can I just once and for all give the department?
Jefferson?
Oh, yes?
Oh, I'm sorry. My hand was up and then I just brought it down after Honorable Peterson spoke. I just wanted to make just one last issue, Honorable Chairperson. In terms of the committee considering the motion of desirability, in terms of our own rules of parliament, Rule 286A, number I, it clearly stipulates and specifies how and in terms of the process the committee must be able to consider or whether we are supposed to consider a motion of desirability, whether we agree to it or we don't agree to it. Now, before we consider, based on this rule, before we consider a motion of desirability, the committee must have also solicited the views of the public through a public consultation process. Remember the meeting that we held last week with the department? The department, as part of the critical stakeholders responsible for the implementation and the custodianship of the acts and the legislation, presented to us their input in terms of after considering the private members' bill from Honorable Masango. So the department last week said these are our views. Now, before we can even decide as a portfolio committee to say the motion is desirable with regard to the proposal of the members' private bill of Honorable Masango as presented by Honorable Masango. Also, as a committee, we are also supposed to have embarked on public consultation process, meaning that we are supposed to have advertised for public comments. We are supposed also to have had our public hearings in the different provinces before we can come in to that determination. Now, based on all these issues that are before us, it's difficult for us to see today the motion, the private members' bill is desirable and all of that. So hence, I was actually agreeing to support all those that were proposing that we defer it to the next term, taking into consideration all the other issues that comrades have actually raised, and also in line with our rules of the National Assembly, the rule that I've just stated. Thank you so much. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Stock. I think we have also clarified some of other issues that were asked, but thank you very much, Honorable Members, for deliberating on this. Department, do you see any need to go further in answering these questions that were asked? Because I don't want us to go in circles, back and forth and forth and forward.
No, thank you very much. I think we will reserve. We won't say anything. I think you have, we've noted the guidance of the committee, and I think at the end of the day, at the end of the day, it's the committee who makes the decision on how to move. So I think we're okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, I'm feeling, I just wanted to say to the meeting also, I don't want us to go round and round, but there are some critical, there's one critical issue which I can't remember which member asked about. I think it's Sukers or somebody who asked about the problem of children who get to the age of 18 and they are still in school and then they are either kicked out or they find it very difficult whoever is taking care of them, whether the parents or the caregiver, is finding it difficult. I think it's one of the things that we will have to really look into very seriously as a department, because it's something that you as members of the portfolio in your constituencies, you are coming across it. I'm coming across it a lot. Particularly in provinces such as the Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal and the Northern Cape. So I'm just saying we're not going to lose sight of it. We will talk about it so that members don't think we didn't hear that. It's a serious concern for our communities. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Minister. I think we have finalized this. Lindy, do you have anything to give us the process and procedure in terms on how to deal with this private bill?
Chairperson?
Yes?
Chairperson, I think, Chair, you've missed my hand.
Oh, okay. Carry
yes,
on.
Chair. Yes, Chair. I just need a reply on the status of the Office of the Rights of the Child from the Department and the Minister. And then secondly, I just need to understand as well, if we can get a response, how do we ensure we, in light of what we are discussing now in terms of the protection of children, that the full basket of service, especially the aftercare, in after kids come from school, that in our constituencies, what is available from the department and how we access that. And I've raised that as well as a serious issue that we have in these areas, and I've mentioned the areas. So if I can get a response on those, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Minister, are you still around? Because I think you have already touched this one of the 18 and above children. Can you?
Yes, I've spoken about that, Chairperson, and I think the department can deal with the issue of the Office of the Rights of the Child, because this has been this is a process that needs to follow a certain due institutional processes, as it can be recalled, the same thing was done with the movement of the ECDs. We followed due process. Maybe let me leave it to the department to answer, or if they have anything to say at the moment with regard to that.
Okay, department.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Thank you. I think I think Minister has already indicated around the various processes that are underway with regards to the ORC. We continue to work with all relevant departments as it relates to work on children, including the Office of the Rights of the Child. Of course, the Presidency is coordinating this work. As it relates to various policies, etc., those are pieces of work that are ongoing through various departments. I think on the full basket of services, we have legislation, policies, norms and standards programs. RECIHA is one of the programs and a range of other programs which the public are able to access insofar as the services that are offered by the department. These you will find at every single local, local municipality being administered primarily by the provincial departments of social development, of course, it bridges into districts and local municipalities. So that is readily available, and it's information that that members of the public are able to tap into. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Chairperson, so that the member doesn't feel like she's shortchanged, I can say to the member that I am in constant contact with the person in the presidency who is responsible for this. That is Prof. Chisano. I was even speaking to her last week because she continues to inquire, because it's supposed to be going to the presidency. She continues to inquire about what needs to be done, where are the processes, and that's why I'm saying we need to make sure that all the due processes are taken care of, because it cannot just be moved without following the due process. And I made the example of the ECD movement. It was very smooth. It was well done because we committed to due governance and government processes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Minister. Then let's, Lindy, I was about to give you. Yes.
Um,
What must I do, Chair? You want me to outline the process?
Yes, outline the process so as to finalize this at the end of the day.
Okay,
if anything that we are leaving behind, and also there is anything that we are, those who have tried to...
Okay, Chair. Okay, Chair. I think the first item on of the agenda, we also accepted the second item where we deliberated, because it was supposed to be the department's briefing and thereafter the committee to deliberate on the bill. But it seems as if we have done the two processes simultaneously. Chair, my role is to provide an advice in terms of the rules of the National Assembly. Chair, Rule 284, I and J reads as follows. After the bill, I'll just outline the process. The bill was initiated by the member and to the Speaker of the National Assembly. The bill was referred to the Portfolio Committee for its consideration and support. The committee invited the sponsor of the bill, which is Member Masango, and also invited the department to respond on the issues raised by the sponsor. I think we've done that process. After that process, the committee can adopt the MOD. I just want to quickly touch on the issue raised by Mr. Talk around public participation. There is no clear cut as whether the committee must start with public participation before the MOD or the MOD and then public participation. In the case whereby the committee is not clear as to whether this bill is desirable, they just conduct the public participation process to solicit ideas from the public so as to make a decision whether this piece of legislation is desirable. In cases whereby there are issues around the processing on the bill from the onset, the committee is at liberty to take the MOD on the subject next. I would read the rules verbatim for the committee and provide the advice thereof. The rules 286, subsection 4, I read as follows. The committee must consider a motion of desirability. It's after due deliberations. The committee must consider a motion of desirability on the subject matter of the bill, and if it rejects, must immediately table the bill and its report on the bill. That's the case. If the committee decides that due to various reasons, it would be not desirable to proceed with the bill on its form, and then the bill can be done at a later stage. That is option number one. Rule 286J reads as follows. If the motion of desirability is adopted, the committee must proceed to deliberate on the details of the legislation. For example, if the committee decides that the bill is desirable, and the next process is to advertise, have public hearings, and clause by clause, and then proceed with the bill. Those are the two options that you have. I just wanted to also provide in depth as to if the committee decides to say, due to the number of reasons, this bill at its current state is not desirable due to a number of reasons, the MOD will substantiate that as to is not desirable because of 1, 2, and 3. And therefore, it will be the next parliament, the 7th parliament, will deal with that. There is a legacy report that this committee is required to draft to outline all the outstanding issues that the committee didn't manage to deal with. That includes the issue of the Children's Amendment Bill, where a decision was taken that this committee defer the matter to the 7th Parliament. So, and even if a decision is taken that the issue of this particular bill should be dealt with in the next Parliament,
that decision will also form part of the legacy report, and the new committee would look at the children's amendment bill, the outstanding clause, incorporate what this committee is agreed on if you decide to take option one. So, Chair, that is the two options that the committee can consider to decide on. It's whether not to proceed with the bill due and substantial the reasons thereof, or you adopt the MOD, you proceed with the to consider the bill and all the legislative processes to unfold. Thank you very much, Chair.
Oh, cool. Okay, thanks, Lindy. I think. Clear enough, and we'll deliberate on, because we managed to deal with both what you are saying we're supposed to get onto it. Your hand is up, Honorable Stock, because I want to summarize on the discussions and deliberates of the meeting, what have we agreed upon.
Okay. No, thank you very much. I just wanted to ask the committee secretary to read to us, for the purpose of record, rule number 286, subsection 6, A, of the rules of the National Assembly. What do they say? Before I can move to maybe make a proposal or make a submission in terms of the way forward. Rule 286, subsection 6, number A, and then subsection 1 and 2 of those rules. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Stock. It will also put us in a clear direction on the way forward, as you have said. So, Lindy, what?
Chairperson?
Okay.
Chair, I think you missed. It's Honorable Sukers here, Chair. I think you've missed my hand again, Chair.
Okay. You can't let you raise your hand in the carpet, man. Okay, fine. Continue.
Yes, Chair. Chair, firstly, let me acknowledge, thank the Minister for acknowledging my question. I really appreciate it. I want to ask, Chair, that I know that our program is limited. It is for me quite sad that we have no indication in terms of that in this term, the Office of the Rights of the Child, is not functional. And it is a very sad thing. And you can clearly see the impact of that based on the fact that this office would be such a great helpful tool in us considering the different legislation, services that impact and policies on children, because it would in this committee provided, I think, to this committee a good overview of that for us to establish the gaps. At the moment, us as members are establishing gaps based on our limited understanding of what is available or how legislation and policy covers vulnerable children. And it is within that context that we answer. So that's the one comment that I want to make. And secondly, it is for me not helpful for the DG to say that, the acting DG to say that we can access, the public can access these services, the information on the full basket of services at municipalities. Chair, as I want on the record for us, to get for our constituency offices, either to get a briefing or for this committee to get a briefing on the full basket of services and how we access that. Our constituency offices need to become much more functional, especially in the protection of children and accessing those services that are vital to get vulnerable children help and protection and safety where needed. It is an issue that I struggle with week on week in the different provinces. We don't get a hold of, our officers do not know who to speak to. How do they get the children off the street if children are on the street, or how do children get children into protective services? And I gave into protective care temporarily. And I mentioned the case last week, how we struggled to get a child into a space. So it is not good enough for the department to defer us in that way. Our constituency officers need that information. The public gets information from your constituency officers in a functional government or in a functional manner, if we are functional. But we are not. We are dysfunctional, and we need those information. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Sugar. Honorable Minister.
No, Chairperson, I thank you very much, and with due respect and respectfully, I think that when members have got issues that they also want to raise with the department, please, they are free to do so directly, so that we don't come to one meeting to be responding to what is on the agenda of the meeting, and then we end up having discussions on some other issues. Because if we need to respond to the honorable minister, I mean the honorable member, yeah, I think this is not the time and the platform for us to be doing that. I'm just requesting respectfully to the member, where she has come across those issues and she's finding it difficult, can the member please just direct those things to us so that we can deal with them? Because now it's not fair also for the department. It's not everybody who deals with the area or the issues that the member is raising who are on the platform now. And I'm 100% sure that should we had heard the team in the department that deals specifically with the issues that the member is raising, they would have been able to respond. But also, I don't want a back and forth. We are here to assist the people of South Africa. Even if the member has got areas that she would like us to respond to, we would gladly do so as a department. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Yeah, but yeah, Honorable Masango, you'll be the last one, because there is a request of a clause that needs to be read by Lindiwe so as to go to the way forward.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to make a comment after Honorable Stock mentioned the issue of public hearings and getting public comments. I think I also omitted in my presentation to say that we did receive, because obviously the bill was, when our notice was in the Gazette, for public comments, we did receive some comments, and those comments are available. I don't know what the process would be to make them available to the committee, or they would need to be just sent to the committee, a whole matrix of comments that came through the office of the speaker that were responded to accordingly, and that can be made available if that's what the committee wants. I just wanted to make that comment when I heard that Honorable Stock was talking about the public also commenting on the issue. Thank you, on the bill, that is. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Members. What I like is that you said those are comments out of the deliberations. Can we allow Lindy to read what was requested?
Sorry, Chair. Rule 286. Rule 286, subsection 6, reads as follows. I'm going to read A and B. I don't know whether Mr. Stock, I must also read C. It reads as follows. In the process...
Honorable Manganyi, mute, please.
I'm saying sorry because I was going to speak. Sorry.
Continue, Lindiwe.
Okay. In the process of inquiring into a bill, the committee must, where applicable, as far as possible, apply the following separate formal stages. A, informal discussion on the principle of and subject of the bill, including Romans Figure 1, a briefing by the department concerned, and in the case of members' bill, by the member concerned, and Romans Figure 2, consideration of public comments that have been received. B, adoption of a motion of desirability relating to whether the principles of the bill and the need for the bill are accepted. I don't know whether Mr. Stocker must read C. I didn't hear him properly.
Yes, please proceed.
Okay. C, invitation for further public comments and submission on the substance of the bill, followed by the hearing and examination of such or other oral submission if deemed necessary. So that's the rule 286, subsection 6A to C. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Lindworth. I think we are on the same path, and also we have consulted these clauses and subsections that are talking in terms of this. And by the looks of things, the deliberations were choosing option one with all the, I will say, all the entities or terms that are related with this private bill that we're dealing with. So can we then summarize, Lindy, on what we have agreed upon and was seconded by honorable members out of all what we have done?
Chair, I've put options before the committee, and honorable Stock refer me to this rule. And he said that he will make a comment or a suggestion thereafter. So far, I that's what I've done, just to put the options so that the committee can decide on, and we can lead as to what the decision is.
I'm sure you want Honorable Stock to repeat what he was saying, because he has already outlined on how is the way forward be, and I've also included myself by saying out of the deliberation, what have I picked up. Honorable Stock, can we give you to put the way forward?
No, thank you very much.
So for the recording purposes, otherwise we are done with this and we have put the way forward. Thank you. Over to you, Honorable Member.
Okay, no, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me also thank Lindy Weh for reading the National Assembly Rules number 286, subsection 6A, and also Roman Figure 1, 2, as well as C for the record, because I wanted that rule to be read for the record so that we are clear in terms of the proposals, how we need to move forward, so that we don't go back and forth, all of that. So before I make the proposal, Honorable Chairperson, I just wanted to make the following remarks also to the meeting. Because of, as a portfolio committee, we have never considered public comments. For us to be able to determine or to decide whether the private member's bill presented or brought to the portfolio committee by Honorable Masango is desirable or not, without necessarily just waking up and say, no, we reject it, no, we don't want it and all of that, but substantially also looking at the facts and considering the issues that were brought before us. Now, based on the rules of the National Assembly, the rule that I've just quoted, and it was also read into the record, it clearly stipulates that the committee were supposed, before we even consider the motion of desirability of the private member's bill, we're supposed also to have considered the public comments on this particular bill. Now, Honorable Masango came in and clarified and said...
I'm Member Stock.
Yes, Lindy. Lindy? Can I proceed?
Proceed, Honorable
Okay. Now, Honorable Masango clarified us earlier on and said, no, the public comments are there. They have been solicited from the public, and then they were submitted through the office of the speaker. But now my concern is that we have not had an opportunity as members of the committee to go through and consider such public comments. So which now puts us in a very difficult predicament as a portfolio committee to be able to determine whether the motion of desirability is approved or is not approved. So based on what I've actually raised, I will actually propose that as a committee, we reject the motion of desirability of the private members bill presented by Honorable Masango, and then we defer the contents or the private members bill presented by Honorable Masango to the next term of parliament, which is the seventh term, which will be considered through a committee bill of parliament. That's my proposal, Honorable Chairperson. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Stock. I don't know what was Lindy were going to be saying. Otherwise, you have summarized it the way that we deliberated on. And I think that is the way forward that needs to be recorded so as to finalize this and finish what we were discussing.
Honorable Chair, I was saying is what we deliberated, and I'm seconding the issue that Honorable Stock have raised. I'm supporting that we must also defer everything as we have agreed in the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Manganyi. You are supporting what Honorable Stock is saying. By the looks of things, Honorable Members.
Chair, I just want to get clarity. Maybe DAXA can also assist me. The rules of Parliament, now that the bill was formally referred to us, and we followed due processes. And the sponsor money, the sponsor presented, and then we engaged with the department. The next step should have been for this committee, now that the matter was formally referred to us, to draft a report to the House stating that it either it proceeds or not proceeds with the bill. And if not proceeding, substantiate the reasons thereof. Because I'm a bit skeptical when it comes to deferral, which might have a bit of a challenge, and maybe the chairperson would be required to explain to the principal as to why the committee didn't consider the bill that was referred to it. So I'm not sure whether we still need to craft a report for next week, substantiate all the issues that were raised on the matter, or we just not consider it and leave as is so that the next parliament can deal with it. So I'm a bit skeptical. I'm a bit confused as to what actually must we do as the next step.
Okay, Lindy, what? I don't want to seem as if I'm steamrolling the committee. Né? I would like the members also to clarify that, because if you have noticed, Honorable Stock tried to capture and summarize in a way what is it that needs to be done. Can I again, and it has been seconded, Honorable, can I again, once and for all, give Honorable Stock on this matter? Honorable Stock?
Thank you. Yeah, I have my hand up, Chairperson.
Oh, yes, your hand is up?
Yeah, yes, my hand was up before you called. Yes, because I'm finding it a little bit odd that what Secretary respectfully is saying, I'm finding it a little bit odd that she's asking what needs to be done when the rules are very clear. And I thought that everything that's been presented here makes it very clear which direction the committee is going. But however,
I'm not a member of the committee, I'm the executive, so maybe the committee must speak. It's just that I'm not understanding what she's saying.
Yeah, thanks, Minister. That's what also confuses me, and I don't want to seem as I am really steamrolling the committee members, but I'm taking out of their deliberation because it was really clear on what is being said. Honorable Masango, your hand is up. I don't want to open it again and again, Bitun. I even mentioned that this roundup won't assist us. Your hand is up.
My last comment, you will never hear me speak on this issue again, ever. I just wanted to, after Honorable Stock again said that because of the public comments that I referred to, then that is the reason why we must reject the bill. I wanted to say that I did mention that the public comments are available. All we need to do is to have a meeting to see the comments, then we can vote afterwards. Voting is undesirable today ends the bill. That's what it is. And so I don't want my own comment to work against the very bill that I'm putting I'm presenting before the committee. If the fact that the public comments have not reached the committee is the reason why Honorable Stock is saying we must reject the bill, I mean, that would be sad. This is why I'm saying all we need to do, or can do, is to have a meeting, see the comments, then vote either way, because voting now to say the bill is undesirable, and his words were reject the bill, is ending it. You can't reject and defer. Those are two opposite sides of the coin, and I don't know that they can be put together in ending the deliberations on this matter. Thank you, Chairperson.
I'm happy that Honorable Masango is saying that you won't say anything really out of this, because we have deliberated this long, and I thought we have managed to found one another in the space. The reality of the matter is that when we discuss issues, we have also to take into consideration on what are other people or other honorable members are saying. Because really, I found out that we are going backward and forward and going backward and forward. That's why I made that comment from the onset. Can I again, the last, and give over to Mr. Stock, Oganye Honorable Stock, on what he was saying for the record purposes, because seemingly Lindiwe is requesting that because she is not sure on what is it that she needs to report. But otherwise, the committee has long been deliberating with this, which I am now not going to give anyone to say except Honorable Stock to finalize and summarize it, because it has already been seconded on this. But you know, members, I just want to remind you on how this bill was really a very tough thing dealing with it. And the answers, I mean, the questions that were and concerns that were asked by other members were covered and also responded by the department. Thank you ever so much. I am giving over to Honorable Stock again to do that summary, that so as Lindy will be able to record for the meeting that you have agreed upon. Over to you, Honorable Stock.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I think you are right, Chairperson. Let it be for the last time so that we don't go forward, backwards, and all of that. I agree, and you've got my full support on that one. Honorable Chairperson, there's a reason why earlier on, I requested this particular rule of the National Assembly to be read for the record purposes. Because of the reason why I wanted it to be read for record purposes, because I felt as a portfolio committee, we cannot consider a motion of desirability without having considered the public comments. Because up to date, where we are today, we have never considered those public comments. I hear Honorable Masango said, yes, they are there, but as a committee, we have never considered them. That's the reason why I brought it, that we cannot. And Honorable Masango at that stage was also proposing that based on the desirability of the private members bill that she brought, she submits it before us for consideration and all of that. So based on the rule, 286 subsection A, 286 subsection 6, A, Roman figure 1, Roman figure 2, and then also B and C, which Lindwe also read into the record. It clearly stipulates the procedure and process for us as a portfolio committee, members of parliament, towards consideration of the private members' bill, which is brought before us. Now, the proposal came because as things stand, where we are and what we are supposed to consider today as the portfolio committee, we never considered any public comments, public input. So, which made it very difficult for us to be able to say, yes, the motion of desirability is granted, we agree with it and all of that. It put us in a very difficult predicament. So that's why I was actually proposing that it needs to be rejected because it not followed the due process and it did also not follow the rules of the National Assembly. So based on what is before us, with all the facts that has been given to us, with all the submission, the comment from the department, we are of the view that the motion is not desirable and then it must be rejected. And then the content which has been raised in the private members' bill of Honorable Masango presented to us, we have never disagreed with it. And then from the onset, we have appreciated the fact that she brought it before us. And then the contents of that private members' bill, we agree with it wholeheartedly. And this is an issue that has been canvassed adequately, I'm sure, by all members of the portfolio committee, that the issues that are there, they are well within the scope, or they are well in terms of protecting the rights of children and all of that. So we agree with the contents of the members' bill. So that's why I propose that with regard to the private members' bill and the contents of it, we must then defer it to the next coming parliament. Because remember, the private members' bill, the contents of it, I think we have also made this point in the meeting, that it's not something new. It has been there as part of the clauses that we set aside to be considered through a committee bill. So the good thing will be just to defer it to the next coming parliament to come and deal with all these clauses that are there. So that's my submission, Honorable Chairperson. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Stock. You know, I am just laughing at this. The terminology of parking, rejecting, and put on abeyance, and all those terminology, maybe they are creating problems on it. But out of the discussions and deliberations, I think I've captured it quite correctly. Because last time in the Children's Act, we were asking about this word of rejecting. And we made mention that we don't reject them except to say that we are parking, then we will come back with it. And it was said according legal terminology. There's no word that is saying we are packing it or packing aside or putting up hands on all the stuff. It was explained on this. So this word of rejecting, and also we mustn't confuse them. We must at least take the context of on what we are deliberating on and check whether do we. Because everybody in the meeting, I could hear that no one is against on children's right and children's act, but the only thing is that the timing is against us and all other things are against us. And we know that all the submissions were there. We knew it beforehand. But it's just that we said because we won't have time to finish up. And looking at the situation now, we are about to finish. This is going to be our last lap for the older persons bill. because we will be visiting the last province. And it was not an easy job. It was a very tough road to finish up this thing. Honorable members will remember we are encountering problems. So we must as well take even this one as if it is a long route, but we are going at the end to conquer it and get into it. We are not saying we don't care about it because of ABCD. And I think we have finalized it.
Lindsay,
I think
there's a legal advisor in our midst. She would want to say something.
I'm on the legal advisor, Jan Mosha. I don't know the legal advisor, Jan Mosha. I'm summarizing up. What is the legal advisor going to say at the end of the day out of the summary that we have done? But for not steamrolling the meeting, really, because I can steamroll it and make it to take the decision out of the deliberation. Who's the legal advisor? Tatum Church's advocate.
You could be from Parliament.
Who is he or who is she?
It's the actual chair, the drafter of this bill. The actual from Parliament.
Her name is drafter.
No, Chair, it's Daksha, Daksha, D-A, Daksha.
Okay. I didn't even know that she is present. I'm sorry for that. Can we give you an opportunity to say something, but not taking us back? What, please? Over to you. Legal
good
advice.
Morning. Good morning, Chairperson, honourable members, Minister and stakeholders. I do apologise for not introducing myself up front. I think we skipped that part on the agenda, so I do apologise for that. Chairperson, I just want to say that I can understand the confusion that Lindiwe is finding herself in, and I appreciate that Mr. Stock asked Lindiwe to read into the record the rules that currently govern the processing of bills and especially private members' bills. Mr. Stock is correct that Rule 286 subsection 6 does speak about before taking an MOD that public comments be considered. Now, I just want to reiterate that those are not public comments that the committee would have called for. Those are comments that Ms. Masango would have received when she published her notice of intention to introduce the bill. She has said that she has received comments and she's made an offer to present these comments to the committee if it would assist the committee in taking a decision on an MOD. So that's the one issue I wanted to raise, that, one of those comments can be presented by Ms. Masango. The committee can then consider it and then take them into account in considering a motion of desirability. But a motion of desirability cannot just be rejected because public comments have not been considered. Earlier on in the meeting, Lindiwe did present the two options that the committee has. One is to say that they may consider a motion desirability, and if a decision is taken to reject it, because the issue in the private members' bill is going to possibly be dealt with in a new bill that will come before the 7th Parliament, if there are cost challenges, if there are impracticality challenges, then those are reasons that this committee can reject the private members' bill, and then the committee will have to develop a report on that decision and table that report in the National Assembly. However, if the committee chooses to proceed with the motion of desirability, then this committee will have to process that bill as a standalone bill outside of any other new bill that comes before the 7th Parliament. So I just wanted to clear that up. I did get a sense that the summary that the chairperson was making was that it appears to be that there are valid reasons for saying that this bill should not be proceeded with at this stage, because there is this clause in the remaining clauses of the exec bill that was not processed, and that will then form part of a new bill that becomes before the 7th Parliament. So if that is the summary, then the process then would be to take a decision of rejecting a motion of desirability and reporting that to the National Assembly. The, so yeah, that's just the clarity I wanted to present to the committee chairperson. Thank you.
You. Okay, thank you very much, legal advisor, on that. Yeah, we hear you on what you are saying. And you know what makes me to not sure exactly now, where are we in terms of that? Because as we are repeatedly saying that we had not, I will say, recognize these public hearings, and we didn't get this whatever from whoever, that is from Honorable Masango, and also from our side. It's fine to clarify that it's supposed to come from Honorable Masango, which is, we don't have a problem on that, but we didn't have a deliberation on them and also get into the discussions on them. And then can I also go back to the members of parliament, because now I've done with this conclusion. Otherwise, the legal advisor was just informing us in terms of where we missed it and also where she needs to correct us so as to be put correctly. Lindy, where, did you manage to capture all this, what we have said, and where do you find a gap on it, and so that we start clarifying that now, because we cannot go back and on discussion. We appreciate
yes,
that.
Yes, Chair. Yes, Chair, I'm very clear. Is the two options that were presented before the committee. And then the next step would be for the committee to present a report and adopt that report, maybe in the next meeting, Chair. I'm clear.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much, honorable members. That's how we are concluding today. It was not easy, because I don't think we have were aware of these public and private bills in terms of the process and the procedures. But we are assisting one another, and we are also empowering ourselves in terms of the roles of the parliament, so as to be able to be on the right side in terms of the discussions. Can we then say thanks ever so much to all honorable members that were present, and also to all officials that were present, including the legal advisors that have assisted us. We really appreciate it. It is worse with the minister. I know for a fact that it is a cabinet meeting today, so but she decided to be with us, so as to give the guidance and also give us the direction. Thanks ever so much. Thanks ever so much. That means that we will learn every day until we die. It is not late to amend things that we have done wrong. It is not late to amend whatever that we think needs to be amended. Thanks ever so much. The meeting has adjourned.